Hey, here's a fun game you can play at home while you listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Do a shot of your favorite alcohol every time Ron sighs or makes a grumpy sound. No, hold on, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. You will die from alcohol poisoning. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. You have three guesses. No, no, and no. If you have an appetite for fun, you're going to starve. You get it? With the fun and the starve part? Quick, what day of the week is this? No. Oh, you're wrong. You see, though, it's Sunday. It's not. It's Thursday. How you feeling, huh? How you feeling, all right? I know. Me too. I know. Me too. I know. Okay, that's enough. Jason Shaw on a trombone, providing the theme and the closing theme music here, and the incidental music, incidentally, Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. And then there's John Shanahan, the man, the myth, the legend, comedy writer, does the opening announcements, many of the comedy bits on this program. And then there's the lovely Nicole Reed, who's a British voice at the beginning of the program, books many of the national interviews, and other contributors that contribute blood on a monthly basis. And then there's you. How you doing? Good to be with you on this fine, lovely day. Because we're a national presentation, I have no idea what the weather is where you are, nor do I really care. So, with that in mind, let's get started. I have an extremely interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. He was one of Bernie Sanders' official campaign managers. I believe it was a deputy campaign manager. I don't know what that means. I think you wear a badge. I don't know how that works. But as you know, Bernie Sanders, many people idolize this man of mystery. He's quite a guy. Ran for president at a point recently. Ran twice, as a matter of fact. Does a lot of running. That's how he stays fit. He's just a wonderful man. So we're going to find out what goes on in the mind of Bernie Sanders. What is he really like when you're sitting on a bus with him going from state to state kissing babies? I don't think that's the entire deal, but the man is amazing how he gets around and moves around. He's amazing. He does more at his age than I did when I was 10 years old. I know. It's true. So we will talk to the Bernie Sanders man a little bit later in the program. Right now you've got me, and that's the way it's got to go for a short period of time. I'm sure you can handle this. You've handled worse. I many people come up to me and say, Ron, why don't you run marathons? And first of all, I laugh the fact that you would even ask me that question. And secondly, if I started running a marathon 3 months ago, I'd just be getting to the finish line now. And that's pathetic because it's usually 26 miles or 20 something miles in a marathon. For me, that involves a hotel room, not to stay before the marathon begins, but in the middle of the marathon, I like to rest for a few days and then complete my route. I'm like a pathetic paper boy. Anyway, thanks for being here. There's a new restaurant that opened up near me. It's not a commercial, I'm just saying. And it's a new craze that I was not familiar with. Are you familiar with pho? P-H-O. Pho. It's a Vietnamese dish, and it's becoming very popular. There are pho restaurants opening all over the place. P-H-O. And you're saying to me, Ron, why are you clearing your throat so much? Well, allergies, first of all, and secondly, makes me sound intelligent. When I clear my throat, I also clear my mind. It's like a colonoscopy for the brain. Okay, now I'm clear. Clear. Faux, man, faux. It's new. I mean, it's not new. These restaurants are popping up. Pho is an amazing thing. Let me tell you what it is. They give you a bowl, and in the bowl, they put lettuce and warm vermicelli, vegetables, some type of meat, a chicken or a pork or a beef, and other shit, and it's all in one bowl. It's a whole lunch or dinner in a bowl. And then they put some kind of wonderful sauce over it. I think it's called fish sauce, but it doesn't come from a fish. It's like chicken fingers. It's not the same thing. It's a lovely dish, and it fills you up, and it's actually quite nutritional if they don't go too heavy on the sodium. And these restaurants are popping up all over the place, some in the Vietnamese pho circles. Call it bun, B-U-N. There's no bread involved, there's no bun involved, but that's what they call it. You know these languages, they don't mean the same stuff as we do in our language, depending what our language may be at the time. Pho. And I'm thinking, wow, what an incredible idea this is. Take a lot of food, put it in a bowl, and give it to people. How simple can that be? It's wonderful. What did you have for lunch? I had stuff in a bowl. Wow, that's great. Was it nutritious? Yeah, and it was all in a bowl. The hell with keeping the vegetables separate from the meat and the pasta separate from the lettuce. The hell with that. Just throw all of it in the bowl. It's quite amazing, really. Anyway, it's called the pho, and I think it's great. I love this stuff. I was thinking of opening up my own pho restaurant because I came up with some incredibly great names for a pho restaurant. The best name, and nobody's taken it. Actually, they name these restaurants after numbers. There's a pho 9 and a pho 6. It's kind of interesting. But that's not the point. I'm going to open up my own pho restaurant. I'm just going to cook stuff, throw it in a bowl, and give it to people. How simple can you be? All you need is a lot of stuff and some bowls. And you eat them with chopsticks, by the way, which is a wonderful invention. I tell people from the Asian countries, you know, they have forks now. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it from me. They'd rather eat stuff with two skinny sticks. And to me, that's fairly amazing. But it works. You know, I've actually lost weight by eating with chopsticks, especially the soups. It's amazing because you have to manipulate the pieces of wood to get the food like clinging to it, and then you put it in your mouth. It takes a couple of hours. Do you ever try to eat rice it's one grain at a time. Ooh, good name for a television show from the 70s. Anyway, yeah, so I'm going to open up a faux restaurant in my mind. And I've got some interesting names for the faux restaurant. Fee-fi-fo, P-H-O, Fee-fi-fo. That's what the giant said in Jack and the Beanstalk, I believe. That would be an interesting name for throwing a lot of food in the bowl and selling it. The best name I've come up with, and it would be so, marketing-wise, it would be so incredible. Here's the name of my faux restaurant. Mofo. Yes, Mofo. You know what it means. I know what it means. It would be a wonderful name for a faux restaurant. Just to put that on the side of a building would be a credible accomplishment. How about this name for a restaurant? This is Faux You. That's good. How about Good Faux You? Yes, Good Faux You. Did you go to the restaurant, the faux restaurant? Yes, I did. Well, Good Faux You. That's great. Or just Faux You. I don't know what that means, but it sounds bad. Man, I'm into the faux. I'm into the faux. Have you had faux? Don't answer me. I can't hear you. It's a radio show. Don't be stupid. Don't embarrass yourself. These are rhetorical questions. When you're listening to a radio show, if somebody asks you a question, I gotta believe it's rhetorical. Because there's no way, unless you call up the station and they're taking phone calls, you answering when a talk show host asks you a question is just absolutely stupid. And there are some people that actually do it. You're very stupid. All right, the Bernie Sanders man is going to come up very shortly, but first, this very short commercial word, because someone's got to pay for this, and apparently you are not going to be doing that. So there's this.
Hello, this is Father Mike Slannery from the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church here in town, and I'm excited to tell you about a thrilling new addition to our monthly Friday night bingo game lineup. In addition to classic favourites like Coverall and Four Corners, we'll now be adding Full Contact Bingo. That's right, Full Contact. That's where the friendly community game you love meets the hard-hitting action of football and hockey that you crave. Is Mrs. Smith about to call bingo before you? Hit her with a cross-check or crash her into the boards. I should mention that all Full Contact games will take place in the street hockey rink behind the parish function hall where the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Fighting Sons of Leviticus hold their matches. Protective gear is recommended, and weapons are not allowed. And if you feel bad about taking out a friend or neighbour so you can win a few bucks at the bingo, I will be on hand to take your confession. That all starts next Friday night at the parish hall at the Our Lady of the Sacred Spatula Church, 27 Eucharist Way, right downtown. We'll see you there.
Ari Rabinhoff joins us now. He was the deputy campaign manager and the man next to Bernie Sanders during the 2020 presidential campaign. I think we all remember that one. And he joins us now. How you doing there?
Good. You know, it was quite a ride in 2020, and I wanted to write a book that showed people who Bernie Sanders is. Because I got this weird experience, this privileged experience, yes, of literally traveling the country next to him for 3 years. And you have a candidate who, and a politician who's one of the most famous, and he'd hate that I use that term, and influential people on earth, yeah, who is not really known. They're like, people understand his positions, they understand who he is, but they don't know him. And I think he's somebody who protects himself from that and doesn't believe that should be a part of politics. But I think it's an important part, yeah, of the story to tell about one of the most important political figures of the 21st century thus far.
Certainly one of the most interesting and dynamic. The book is called The Fighting Soul, On the Road with Bernie Sanders. It's a great book, by the way. I love getting into the minds and the behind the scenes thing. I always think that's fascinating because I'm always intrigued that I didn't know everything that I thought I knew. And that's the case here as well. Bernie was it sounds like he's not with us anymore. Bernie is a fascinating individual. What most astounded me was his ability to grab the younger generation and just bring them along on the ride. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have a septuagenarian Jewish socialist who suddenly captures the hearts of 20 and 30 year old voters around the country. And I think the reason is threefold. One, Bernie would say, and I think he's somewhat right about this, that younger people, because they're raised in the age of the internet, because of a number of other reasons, have a significant BS detector that they just turn off to politicians who are just kind of being political with them. And I think Bernie is right there too. And I think this is really important. Bernie listens to young people when he talks to them. There were so many times throughout the time traveling with him where, you know, once we were in Iowa, we're driving through the state where we have to go to the bathroom, so we stop at a junior college, and there's a band, like a marching band competition going on. And he pulls aside one of the marching bands and just has a conversation with them. And we had cameras with us, et cetera, and he waved off the cameras. He didn't want it filmed. And he said, I just want to talk to these kids and see what they're thinking. And, you know, he's asking about college, asking about what issues they care about, asking them about their lives. And he legitimately listens and wants to hear people. And I think this is a generation that has felt unheard by political leaders. And Bernie really wanted to hear them and hear what they had to say. And three, and this is something I think you have to keep in mind, he's somebody, you know, in his speech coming back from the heart attack at Queensbridge Park, he said, take a look around. You know, I want you to look at somebody, and this campaign is about fighting for somebody you don't know. Mm-hmm. Bernie, if you look at the issues he focuses on, there are things that will never affect him. He talks about Medicare for all, but Bernie has the best health care in the world. He has the Congressional health care plan, and he has Medicare. So he's never going to go without health care. He's never going to go. He doesn't have to pay. When he went to Brooklyn College, it was free, and University of Chicago was far cheaper when he went there. So he never had to worry about paying for college in the way kids today have to worry about paying for college. He, you know, the climate change, we're seeing the impacts, but the worst impacts are coming. And while I'd like Bernie to live forever, he is in his 80s and likely will not see those impacts in his lifetime, but it is an issue he is fighting on. This is a generation that knows he's fighting for them, and I think that's why he's so attracted to them.
He was the opposite of that Republican guy that puts his name on buildings. I don't say his name publicly anymore, but he's the opposite. That guy did everything for himself. Bernie did everything for everybody else, and that was extremely clear, and I think that was part of his why people liked him so much. And I think some
fight for you and your friends versus fight for someone you don't know.
But even though Republicans called him a socialist and said some weird things about him, and which some of them were actually true, they still, I think, respected him. And that was something that you don't see often.
Well, I think what it is people have a fundamental understanding. I was just talking to a radio host in Texas about the book who said, you know, I don't support Bernie. I don't like his politics, but I always knew at least he was being honest about what he said. At least he never told me something he himself didn't believe. And I think people really want that in a politician because so much of our time is spent listening to politicians who don't say what they mean, who aren't honest with people, who don't share the truth about their intentions or feelings. And I think with Bernie, almost as I point out in the book, almost to a degree that harmed him, he has an inability to do the political BS.
Right. Was he at all offended by some of the things that are said to presidential candidates, especially such as it says here that a New York Times journalist called Bernie an asshole. Mark Melman called Bernie a self-hating Jew. I mean, some of this may be accurate, but that's did anything like that bother him? Like, they just don't understand me and I'm angry about it, or did it roll off his back?
Well, I think it all bothers people, but you know, natural human. But I think what bothers him most is that people don't take the process seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That people, what bothers him most is almost when people want it to be a kind of show on stage as opposed to something that really impacts people's lives. I tell the story in the book of what happened in South Carolina at the beginning of the campaign. A lot of people know the end of the campaign. Mm-hmm. During the Jim Clyburn's world famous fish fry, which is the first, was the first political event of the cycle where every candidate was in the same room at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's this moment before he goes on stage where Clyburn's staff comes out and wants every presidential candidate to wear these t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it, you know, give somebody a new t-shirt and put it on, they look kind of ridiculous always because, you know, a t-shirt, it's like unshrunk. It just, it looks, so all these people, everyone puts on the t-shirts, including Bernie. Bernie looks at himself, takes it off, and he's like, I'm not wearing a costume. Like, we're here to talk about serious issues. I'm not wearing a costume.
Nice.
Takes off the t-shirt, hands it back to me. Every other candidate goes up in the t-shirt. Bernie decides he's not doing it. And, you know, in those moments, I'm sitting there going, you know, the Clyburn staff is ready to kill me because they can't kill Bernie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the one they're ready to kill at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in this moment as a staffer, you're like, why can't my boss, you know, just be a normal politician and do the things he's asked to do? But in the end, he was right. You have 20 people plus people in a room, one of whom is likely to be the most powerful person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They are running for something serious. They're talking about serious issues. And you make them wear a costume to go up on stage?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of offensive. And he was right to push back and not put on the t-shirt.
I mean, which I think a lot of people appreciate it. I mean, you don't have to kiss babies. Every once in a while, I can say, I'm not here to kiss babies. That doesn't do anything.
But of course,
but everybody else
does
it.
What happened was, by the way, I do think when you explain it, people appreciate it. But that night, the media is like, why isn't Bernie wearing a t-shirt? What is the sign? What is it saying? There's, you know,
because
anxious
that's,
reporting. What is
what's
the color behind the scenes?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's where we're headed country-wise, but that's
beside
the point.
Did Clyburn not give Bernie the t-shirt? Like, just like
I know.
Strange reporting at that point.
Yeah. That's like going to a strip club and not taking the t-shirt from them. I don't know how that made any sense, but okay. Ari, we could talk forever, but we're not supposed to. We're going to have to pick up the book. The book has been released, I understand.
It has. You can get it anywhere books are sold. The Fighting Soul. You know, if you want to order it online, you can do that. It's in your local bookstore. You know, however you want to get it, you can get it. And you can find me on social media at Ari Ravenhaus.
Excellent. Excellent. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And thank you for doing this. I think we're going to find this very revealing and very comforting as well. Thank you so much, sir. Wow, that was interesting. Thank you to my guest for chiming in today. That was pretty, pretty cool. That was really, really pretty cool. Hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's time to see what the stars have in store for you.
Greetings, fellow planetary travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars would like to apologize in advance for what's going to happen this month and to remind you that on some people, scars are quite becoming. Pisces, avoid people named Philip this month, especially Philips who ask if you'd like to see the machete collection they keep in their sub-basement. Aries, you'll spend some quality time at home this month, thanks to not noticing the difference between a Hershey bar and a chocolate laxative. Remember to courtesy flush. Taurus, for some reason, true love and back alley flamenco dance lessons go hand in hand this month. Gemini, your plans to become a professional wrestler take a turn for the worse this month when you realize that you and tights just don't mix. Although the mask works, so maybe keep the dream alive. Cancer. This is the month you finally discover how many tomatoes you can fit in your mouth at once. Unfortunately, it will be against your will. Leo. Do not accept pigs from strangers. It may seem like a good way to get free bacon, but it will only lead to a bad case of demonic possession. Virgo, a double espresso, a croissant, and a fake Lithuanian accent are all you need for success this month. Don't ask me how. Scorpio, this month, wear a cup. Everywhere. You never know. Sagittarius, you'll have a chance to drive a Zamboni this month. You will be drunk, and the police will be chasing you, and there's a good chance shots will be fired, but whee, a Zamboni! Capricorn, take every fortune cookie you read this month very literally. It could save your life or the life of someone you love. Oh, ignore the lucky numbers, though. That's just made-up nonsense. I'm Kip Starchild, and that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Make good choices. Peace.
Thank you, Kip. I was confused last weekend. I went to a theater presentation, and I had to go to the bathroom. You see, the older you get, the shorter the period of time that you can hold this in. So every once in a while, you run to the bathroom to relieve yourself. It's an age thing. It starts happening when you're 18. Something happens. So I'm going to the bathroom. There's this restroom area. There's a big sign with a big arrow. It says restrooms. And I figure that must be where the restrooms are. And I walk down this hallway. And there are like three or four restrooms. But they all have pictures outside of the door. And I don't know what the pictures mean. There's one with an arrow pointing straight up. I don't know what that means. Is that where you go to the bathroom if you're going to go to heaven? What is straight up? What does that mean? Then there's an arrow straight down. I don't know what that means. And one to the left and one to the right. And I figure these directions, apparently no. And then there's a little picture next to the arrows of human beings, but I don't understand what they're doing. I didn't know which room to go into. You see, there is no law, and I'm not degrading. I am not degrading. I'm just expressing my confusion. There used to be male and female, and that was about it. And as you know, if you're alive during this period of time in our history, there are other considerations now. Facebook, in their little about section, in the profile, they have 20, I'm not kidding, 20 different possibilities as to what your sexual identification may be. I can't figure out how there's 20 of them. Beyond the male and the female, there's a lot of different, I don't understand it. I think this is all based on not what you're born with, but what your sexual preference is as you've journeyed through life. And apparently, there are many choices to be had. I think one of them is sex with alligators. And I don't know what you call that, but they have their own restroom for that. I remember when restrooms were, the only thing that was complicated about them was which ones had changing tables for your baby. Originally, they were always in the ladies' room. Then they started putting them in the men's room. And now there's so many rooms, I don't know which is which. I don't know if it's just for the babies, but humans aren't allowed. Adults, no good. I don't get it. I don't understand which is which. You know what? You know what the attitude must be now for restrooms, public restrooms? I don't care. I just don't care. I think if you're a woman and a guy walks into the restroom that you're in, you might say to yourself, this is not pleasant. If you're a guy and a woman walks in to the restroom, you're figuring, this is quite pleasant. I don't know the difference. It depends on your sexual preference. And personally, that's a personal thing. I don't care what your sexual preference is. It's not my business. I seriously don't care. I seriously don't care. I don't care if you're a mechanic and you like to hump a car. I mean, that's fine. Whatever. I'm through caring about things. It's dangerous to care about everything. You have to start separating things in life. That's their thing. What the hell do I care? How does that affect me? The only way it affects me is I don't know which bathroom to go into. And if that's my biggest problem, I think I'm going to be okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.